Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast. Probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how the devil are you doing?
I'm good, man. I am in the studio after an enforced absence of around about two shows for the Football Ramble because I sadly COVID. Got COVID, but I'm all better now, baby.
Hey, super immune now. You've got two vaccines and you've caught it. No one's more immune than Pete Donaldson.
I think I've got a very good shout of being that exact case, to be quite frank. I've got two jabs and I've had COVID recently, so I must be pretty bloody resilient right now, he says as he gets the new variant. I tell you what, I was not very well, and it's obviously hit a lot more people worse than me, but I did quite enjoy having a couple of days off where nobody expected me to reply to emails.
It was a deliberate act, getting sick so you could take the day off,
mate,
and
next
play video
variant,
games.
I'm going to be licking lampposts, I'm going to be licking handrails on the tube, I'm going to be all over it. Over it, mate.
Such vivid imagery, Pete. Today's Natsuki's birthday. It's a very special day.
Oh, yes, please. Natsuki's birthday. Yes, please.
I haven't got him anything. What have you got him?
So before you started, right? Before we started the show, Chris, said that it's Natsuki's birthday and he has to do a post on his socials about Natsuki. And I thought that sounded like contractual. If Natsuki wants to work with you, he will accept money or birthday celebrations via social media. You've not got him anything. You've had so much time to sort this out.
That's not strictly true. So this week, for the first time, I set up an account on Cameo that I think we talked about this months ago, where you can like pay money and people will send you a message.
Yes, okay, yeah.
And Natsuki's perfect at that. Natsuki would be so good. He's very enthusiastic. He loves people. He loves chatting.
Yeah.
So I've set him up. He's just got to send me a video of him talking for 30 seconds about why he's good, and then we're all set to go.
Oh my god! Right, let's talk price points now. I am a serial Cameo purchaser. In recent memory, I've bought Steve Guttenberg. I've bought Shauna Paula. I've bought I've bought the great Carly, the wrestler. A few different wrestlers as well. In fact, so how much are you going to put him in as? Is he an 18 quidder? Is he a 5 quidder?
He's worth more than that.
Really?
I think we're going to price him at about $30.
Whoa.
$35, which
cheap
is £5.
Half the price. That is pretty good, to be fair. I've seen what people spend on J-Vloggers live shows. I'm like, bloody hell, just to ask a question.
How dare you? Out. How dare you?
You are overestimating their free time. Just send them an email.
nonsense. But I don't know. I think like it's gonna be when I said to him, I've set you up on Cameo. He said how much, and I said, $30 sans AM. Mm. And he went, very cheap, $200. I was like, Natsuki, there will be about 8 people that will pay $200 to have a 30-second message from you, but they're gonna be few and far between.
Are you gonna do like the live call one as well? Because now you can sort of have a live call with people on Cameo. Yeah.
I know you could do messages. Not want that.
He could go. He would be cancelled within the minutes. At least you can watch all of his sort of pre-recorded videos and see if they're all right.
I have to screen them meticulously.
Yeah,
he has done things in the past that are a bit questionable. He's a great person, though. He's a great guy. He loves everyone.
He's a lovely lad. What? So, Chris, as the cameo agent of Danger and Terror, are you you taking a sweet cut of this of this sweet cheese that he's going to be bringing in?
I only take a humble 80% of his cut. It's a team effort. No, I'm giving him 100% of it. I don't want to be involved, really, apart from vetting his videos occasionally.
This is why you're going to be destitute when you're 40. These bad businesses. Natsuki's going to be the breakout cameo star of 2021 and you're getting nothing. Nothing!
Yeah, maybe I should reevaluate that. I mean, my vision for Natsuki is to try and find ways for him so he doesn't need to be working at his hair salon so much, right?
Yeah.
Because he works like 5-6 days a week and we don't get to see each other as a result of that. And it's a real shame. You know, I live in Sendai, 2.5 hours away, but we see each other once or twice every 2 months. And I think it is, if Cameo can take off, maybe you can get some staff and spend more time doing other things like being on Abroad in Japan. So maybe in that regard, it is profitable for me because I can get him in more videos.
There we go. So you're in a situation where you are... So this show's going to be coming out on Sunday, I believe. And you... So will Natsuki be on the platform by the time it gets to Sunday? Can we go on right now and get a Natsuki? It's not outside the realms of possibility.
It's not outside the realms of possibility. I've just got to get him to send me a video.
Right.
It's 30 seconds long, which, to be honest, he probably won't do. But we're going to try. So, yeah, all right. Let's aim to have Cameo ready to go for next Sunday. And unsurprisingly, when I signed up to it, the person at Cameo tried to convince me to do it myself.
Right.
But I was like, no, I don't enjoy talking to friends and family, let alone everyone else. You know, so not happening. But yeah, let's hope so. Have you ever been on it?
Sake.
You seem like someone who'd be great at telling people happy birthday.
I do so many freebies. I do so many stag do messages, wedding messages. I do them all the time. Maybe I should get on Cameo. That's my plan for 2022. Become an streamer and do Cameo. Well, I mean, I think how much is Natsuki charging?
About $30. So right.
I'd have to come in about like £12 maximum. I mean, who's even paying that? Really, Lord?
Yeah, that's quite a lot. That's quite a lot, isn't it?
Yeah,
more like £3.50. That's the price point.
What's the Cameo cut? I don't know the ins and outs. What's the Cameo cut? Is it your normal internet 30%?
Yeah, I think it's about 30%. Because I remember we worked it out that if Natsuki does $30, he gets 22 or 25 of that. So
that's a decent cut.
But like, you'd have to do 10 messages to make $250. 100 messages would make more than that. That's my maths.
That's just maths. And that is just maths, people. Oh, exciting.
We will see. And I think he's really, Natsuki's going all out this year. He's enlisted the help of Ian, the producer of Journey Across Japan. And he built the Abroad Japan website. And he doesn't know. But Ian has set up Natsuki's merchandise store, which is coming out soon as well. Natsuki's website and merchandise. He's got some original T-shirts coming out. So that's kind of exciting as well.
Cool.
Future's bright for Natsuki, hopefully.
Yeah, he's been doing bits and bobs with like Tokyo Creative and stuff, hasn't he? So he's been a busy bee.
Absolutely. And once we get the studio set up, the Abroad Japan studio, hopefully he'll pop over a lot more often. We can do live shows together and film something. I don't know. It'd be cool if he had his own channel someday that he could just run from his his hair salon. But
this is very much Creed thoughts on The Office US, where Creed gets given a blog by Ryan the temp, and Ryan just, it's really just a Word document, and he says, even for the internet it's pretty extreme. The unfettered opinions of Natsuki. Wow,
it could be dangerous. It could be very dangerous. But like, I don't know, I just want to help Natsuki get out of that job, or get out of his own company basically, and hire someone so he can have a bit more freedom, right? He's his own self-employed.
Help me get me out of my job. You've got so many people in your life that needs help. Yeah, my job involves talking to you. I don't want to talk to you. Get me out of my job, Chris.
Oh,
God.
Painful, painful stuff. Well, I've actually had a good week. The train video's exploded. The train video with Natsuki.
Exploded.
The train video.
It's like a Keanu Reeves film. Wow.
Isn't that speed? Yeah. What a film that is. I need to rewatch that. But yeah, it's really taken off. It's one of those weird videos where it's gone like super viral. So this is the train video with Natsuki where we went to on the sleeper train and went to Tottori's desert. I say desert loosely. It was a pile of sand. But it's gone viral. Yeah, it's got like 2.5 million views in the last 10 days or something. It's crazy. I don't know what's going on. YouTube recommends videos when they become really popular and they have like a high click-through rate. And clearly people like trains. So
hey, the only back winners. And you're a winner, mate.
But there you go. It's going to be up there with all those people that make videos about planes, the $200 million seat on the plane. Which
I did one of them. No,
you did, didn't you?
Did on my little channel. Got 5 views. Very enjoyable.
The genesis of your channel name. I Review Planes now.
I Review Planes.
That's your YouTube channel. How many subscribers have you got on I Review Planes now?
I don't know, mate. Like, I don't even think it's called I Review Planes. I think I changed it to A Real Frenchman. No, and I did when a Frenchman joined my channel briefly.
Well, don't go and check that out, ladies and gentlemen. But do go and check out the train video. Yeah. And keep an eye out for Natsuki cameo. I'll certainly post about it online, though, when it happens. Like, it'll be everywhere. You won't be able to avoid Natsuki cameo. But it'll be interesting to see how many people do it. It'll be interesting.
Yeah,
how many people do you think we'll get on the first day?
I think he'll have to sort of shutter the shop for a day just so he can get through them all.
I think you can limit the number you do.
You have to limit the number you do per day? All right, okay.
I think you can. You can sort of put a limit in place because it could get out of control. What if like 1,000 people do it on the first day?
Oh, yeah, and they're fuming. Because I remember, like, I requested Shauna Paula for sort of the 22nd. And he said he'd get to it like in 2 days, 3 days or something. And he, just under the wire, he did it like really quite early in the morning on Boxing Day.
Oh my God.
He did a little sing song. To be fair, when it was 200 quid and it came in, and he came in like swing and he did a little sing song, chatted for quite a while and stuff, you know, gave everyone mad props from the Football Ramble. It was fun.
How long was his Shauna message? Paula.
It was a good 2 minutes. Yeah, he really put his
2 minutes.
You know,
wow.
He put money. He put time and effort into it. I think it's fair to say.
I wonder how long that skill do then for his $25. Oh. I have to find out. Looking forward to it though. We've got a story this week from Jesse. It says, "Hello, Chris and Pete. A few episodes ago, you asked about bringing a sword back from Japan. The last time I was in Japan, my friend ended up doing just that. Besides our Airbnb in Osaka, beside our Airbnb in Osaka was a little store that was having a sale. I don't know if it was a store. It just looked like a storage unit that a guy was deciding to empty out. But
that's where I buy my swords from.
Basically.
Just a man on the street selling swords. Yeah, cool. Count me in. Probably not being used for a crime.
Yeah, Yakis are selling off his last remaining items. We decided to stop by and check out what the guy was selling. Inside, my friend found a really nice, pleasant blue katana. And while I found some pocket-sized Hanafuda cards that I immediately lost when I got back to America. So after joking about how we were going to get it back home, my friend bought the sword and the guy running the storage unit wrapped the entire thing in bubble wrap and then wrapped that in blue masking tape. Cut ahead a few days when it's time to leave. We're in the airport and trying to get through customs. Workers are constantly asking what's in the package that my friend has. Initially, he was very excited and responded with, "It's a sword!" After being asked multiple times within the next hour, his response slowly changed to, "It's a sword." When it was finally time to check the sword and put it on the bottom of the plane, 7 people were meticulously unwrapping the sword because they didn't want to cut the tape or the bubble wrap. After checking that it was indeed a sword and laughing with us at the absurdity of the situation, we finally parted with the sword. 14 hours later, we're in Arizona waiting for our luggage. We had all of our bags, but no sword. Take a shot every time you hear the word sword. After talking to multiple people who seemed confused about someone travelling with a katana, we finally got the sword almost an hour and a half after landing. Apparently, it ended up with the oversized luggage, which it manually brought up on an elevator. We then grabbed the sword, took it home where it's collecting dust under my friend's bed. So I can say with confidence that it's possible to bring a sword back, but don't be surprised when you're stopped multiple times and given confused looks when you tell them what you're carrying. Love the show, guys. All the best. Jesse. With his sword.
With his sword. With his sword. It was. It reminds me when I took a plastic sword on carry-on in from Sweden to London, and the man said, with the same kind of like sigh that that Jesse was getting involved with, he just sort of went, don't take that out. Don't. I know you think that's funny that you've brought a little Viking helmet and a sword, but don't get that out on the flight because you will be tasered or something.
You'll be shot.
Oh dear.
What a reason to be shot. A bit like Mr. Bean. Classic film. Running through the airport. Need to rewatch that. I can't work out if it's a great film or a dreadful film. It's a dreadful film.
Everyone likes Mr. Bean. Come on.
But that movie, it was all a bit weird, wasn't it?
I don't even remember.
I'm just nostalgic because it was a good film. All right. So this week, as you are well aware, ladies and gentlemen, the Olympics is over. And nothing really went wrong. In fact, Japan had its best Olympic medal haul of all time, I think, 27 gold medals and 58 overall.
Isn't it weird that, like, when, because London 2012 is obviously very good for the British, that, like, you'd think that, these athletes are at the top of their game and they shouldn't let anything kind of like, you know, home advantage shouldn't really come into it if you're on top of your game and you're this meticulously prepared, super lunatic athlete, like, but home advantage does actually come into it with a lot of events, doesn't it? And it certainly shows.
Absolutely.
With the old medal haul. So well done, Japan. Well done,
yeah, fantastic.
Well done, everyone.
I think Japan came fifth, right? So US was top, then China, I think then Russia, then Britain, then Japan. But yeah,
not Russia. It's not Russia, mate. Come on, it's not Russia. You know, it's not Russia. Come on, get it together. Yes, not Russia.
Is that a doping reference?
They weren't allowed to enter Team Russia, so now it's just the guys who were just hanging out. The guys who were just hanging out and wanted a crack who happened to be from Russia.
Well, I'm just relieved the Olympics are over and it kind of went all right. Like, I mean, currently Japan is going through another outbreak of COVID, but they're saying that's not linked to the Olympics. That's more to do with just this Delta variant, which is actually sweeping the world at the moment. But 40,000 people came to Japan through the Olympics, and only 140 were 140 cases, I think.
It shows the system, works, and with even with the Delta variant, the numbers in places that have that state of emergency, like Tokyo et al, it's still very low, and yet, we talk about this quite a lot on the show. I was listening to the Trash Chest Boys talking about it as well. How fearful of the outsiders the Japanese are, when in fact, 99% of the cases are all Japanese. Most of the cases inside the Olympic sort of bubble were catering staff that were already Japanese. Yeah. They were already Japanese.
Absolutely. It's all ridiculous and irrational. It just reminds me of that guy that closed the ramen shop last year because he closed it to foreigners, didn't he? Because he was like, it's foreigeners that have done it, you know. It's a nasty side of things. But for the most part, you know, I think deaths are pretty low. I think the only thing they worry about here is hospital beds. There's not that many beds in ICUs in Japan for whatever reason. And so they're worried about those all being filled up. So that's why there's a lot of panic across the country. But I'm just glad the Olympics are over. I'm glad they're done. I think everyone's sighed relief. I didn't watch the entire closing ceremony. From what I understand, it wasn't that good. And it was a little bit underwhelming.
Was there a drone world? Were there any drones involved? I didn't actually watch it myself.
No drones, not that I saw.
Loud
so that was the highlight of the opening. That's the only reason the opening ceremony was remembered, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, that got a lot of criticism as well. Actually, the opening ceremony for being a little bit underwhelming, because I remember the 2012 Olympics was insane. Like in London, they really went all out, didn't they? Mr. Bean, there was the Queen jumping out of a helicopter. There was James
Spice
Bond.
Spice Girls, Russell Brand.
Spice Girls back together.
I think it, in many ways, though, surely they would have had to have limited the number of people involved in the opening ceremony. So that's probably the top.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think also there's some broad support for the Olympics actually going ahead now. Like, I think I read something like 60% of the population is glad that the Olympics took happened. Place. So,
oh, that's a bit of a switch around, isn't it? Because people were protesting the end of it, I seem to recall. And they, of course, have the Paralympics coming up very soon. Mm-hmm. A friend is flying out as we speak to cover that for 3 weeks.
And they're filming it and presenting it, or...?
Just filming it. Yeah. He's a sort of director. A director.
Lucky devil. Ooh, lucky devil.
Fun.
Hopefully he gets to experience Japan still, despite all the limitations and whatnot. But I looked at coming back to the UK in September, but I was speaking to a friend the other day, and apparently there's some new limitations on British people coming back to Japan. You've got to like sit in a room for 6 days. Some sort of super quarantine. And before, you could, if you were taking private transport, it was okay. So I would have, I don't know, rented a car or just left my car at an airport and then collected it on the way back. But kind of put off now about the idea of sitting in a room for 6 days, having an existential crisis.
Come on, let's
could vlog it, though. Could
vlog exactly. 128 hours, the film where that man gets caught in a boulder.
127 hours.
Like that, a really intense little scene. You in a hotel room, slowly going insane. Fantastic.
Sawing my arm off for no reason.
Yeah.
Like in 127 hours. Oh, my God. We'll be back with the fax machine in your questions in a moment.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania. Too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back to the fax machine. What have we got this week, Mr. Dawson?
We got a message from Jacob. Hello, Jacob. Excuse me. Hello, gentlemen. This is Jacob from Woodbridge, Virginia, USA. Earlier this year, my friends and I decided to take advantage of cheap flights for 2022. It was originally just the four of us, but as we told our friends about it, it has now turned into an eight-person trip. I have been telling my friends it will be fine, but they seem to have their worries when it comes to going out to eat, travel, and sorting accommodation in a large group. I haven't really seen this discussed online. Is this something I should be concerned about? Sincerely, Jacob. That's going to be interesting, isn't it? Yeah, I suppose turning up mob-handed for a restaurant, etc.
I don't think it'd be an issue, though. I don't think it'd be an issue. Like, can you think of a restaurant in Japan that would be difficult to go in with eight people?
Anything in Golden Guy, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of them are very
small.
More
than two people. That's a push. Golden Guy. I think, yeah, it'd be fine.
They don't do a lot. Like, a lot of restaurants don't have, like, massive bloody tables, do they? Where there's, like, six. I've only once been sat on in a group of, I guess because I only go on, trips with limited amounts of people, but I've only ever been sat in a room with six, seven, eight, nine, ten other people on a table like I would over here. But I think that, and that was only because a man just invited us randomly from his baseball bar to go around the corner to a restaurant that he owns, and we were in a back room in this in this abandoned little part of the restaurant.
Wonderful. I mean, I don't think it'd be an issue at all. I think if you're going out on a Friday or Saturday, restaurants are like 20 times busier in Japan, and you will have to like reserve somewhere or pray or get there, whatever you do. From 7 p.m, that is when restaurants really get rammed over here. So if you are getting out with eight people and you want to get a table, swing by at like 5:30 or 6, and you're much more likely to find somewhere to sit, especially
otherwise you're
in a group
eat,
that
pray,
size.
Love.
Yeah, or sit in the road. Get some onigiri and sit in the road.
Beautiful.
And there's no, they don't have those merry cart people anymore driving those go-karts around, so you don't have to worry about getting run over. We got one here from MJ. It says, hi, Chris and Pete. Please refer to me as MJ. I prefer if my name is not out there.
It's Michael Jackson. Oh, my God. He's back. He doesn't want to be identified. Shit.
Chris, would you predict or foresee a time where an immigrant would ever be considered as Japanese? Peter, I remembered in one of the podcast episodes, you mentioned how you would love Japan, but you would never consider moving to the country. You would just visit. Do you mind sharing your thoughts on this? Pete, share your thoughts on this. That's the end of the question.
Oh, MJ, I, like you, also have a pet chimpanzee called Bubbles, and we are not welcome in. No, I think being an outsider is difficult in any country, but I think it's exacerbated by the fact that the Japanese are very mono-ethnic. keep it that way. And also, I think any minority, a white man will always be regarded as being particularly lucky in most parts of the world because of empires and, history, and that we've colonized half the bloody universe. But I think anyone, any minority would find it very difficult. Anyone who didn't look, your classic idea of a Westerner, white, white male sort of thing, you're going to find it quite hard. And Japan's frequently not great for women. I would find it hard to live in a country that sometimes lets itself down with stuff like that, to be quite frank. So that's my thoughts on it. I'm sure everybody listening probably
I can see
thoughts,
you
but...
I could see you doing like a year in Tokyo or something though. I could see
oh
you
mate no
for a
I,
year.
I mean I could do a couple of years, but I think live there. I mean, you probably even you've been there for like 10 years, and you probably sort of don't regard yourself as being you know,
I'm Japanese, like, people. What are you on about?
Japanese now.
I'm
yes,
Japanese.
You are Japanese. Yeah, sorry, Chris. Yeah. Sorry, Chris San. You, Chris Kun. You,
Chris
you
San.
Are a lovely Japanese man.
I mean, yeah, I mean, to become Japanese here, it's kind of in blood, really. It's in fact, it's not even blood, it's appearance. If you look Japanese, ethnically Japanese, but you're not from Japan, like you're from America, they'll still kind of treat you like
at
a Japanese.
Way, look at the way, like, you know, sort of Japan-born, but, you know, probably call a minority, like half like the sports stars that represent Japan on an international level. If you don't look like a Japanese person, you're treated slightly different and the pressure's ramped massively up.
It's such a bizarre thing to wrap your head around, because obviously in the UK, you come to the UK, you're there for 10 minutes and you're British. Hey, well done. But in Japan, it doesn't work like that. And, you know,
I would disagree with that side of things. I think Britain's just as bad, but I think Japan is way worse, if that makes sense. That's a terrible sentence to put together, but yes. I think you know, young British minorities will probably feel very differently about that particular situation.
Probably, yeah.
I'm certainly not going to speak for them. It's a little easier. It's a little bit more there's a little bit more togetherness in Britain, but it's still got a hell of a long way to go. But Japan is very much at the bottom of a very, very long list of countries that don't do it particularly well.
Well, I'd say the UK's multicultural as Japan. Still very much homogenous, but it's strange how if you don't look Japanese, like if you're white in Japan, they'll just treat you very differently, almost like they'll treat you in a good way, I guess. In most respects, they'll sort of look up to you, but it's really odd. And I remember I've got a good friend who's from America. I think he's from LA, and he looks more or less Japanese. I think both his parents were Japanese, and he came here and he speaks Japanese all right. He's not overly great, but he speaks it all right. English is his first language, obviously. But they treat his colleagues treat him as though he's Japanese, right? So they expect him to do. They expect him to know all aspects of the culture, to play by the rules, and sort of they don't give him any free passes that you get when you're a foreigner. You know, the old gaijin card, whatever they call it here, foreigner card, where you can get away with lots of things. And just feign ignorance, even though he's a foreigner, same as I am in most respects. He doesn't get that. He gets treated as though he's Japanese. So it comes down to blood. It comes down to appearance. Fundamentally, if you're a white person, you come to Japan, you'll never ever be Japanese. But as I said before, it's not really an issue. You can still become a big part of your local community. You can still have a great life here, and it still doesn't get in the way for most people that I know that live here. But there's no doubt most foreigners that I meet that do come here and live here, they do have like a clock that's ticking, and they do plan to return to their native country at some point later on down the line, for various reasons, just as I expect I will do. I don't think I will die on the shores of Japan unless I'm doing some sort of Journey Across Japan-esque challenge in the near future where I bungee jump into a bucket of knives, which is probably going to happen in an upcoming bloody series. Look, keep the stories, questions.
You'll do anything for hits, mate. You'll do anything
How
for
dare
hits.
You? How dare you? What do you think of me? Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into the broadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back to do it all over again on Wednesday. But for now, guys, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, enjoy your weekend, and we'll see you on Wednesday all over again on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
In Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.